outside the Whitechapel Art Gallery with Rachel Whiteread, Turner Prize winning artist, who has, after 111 years, not that Rachel has been here during all of that time, has filled in the empty facade of the gallery. So this is recently, I mean, not just today, but in the last couple of days, big moment for an artist, because you never know exactly how it's going to look until the scaffolding comes down.
No, exactly. And we made, you know, I made a kind of mock-up in the studio. I did stuff on computers and, you know, these kind of bizarre computer programs where you can be the person standing on the ground looking up in this position we are now. But you can never see what it's like until you're actually in front of it. And thankfully, I'm happy.
And you're relieved. You're looking up through sunglasses, and I don't know how it's been arranged, probably an Arts Council grant or something, but the sun has come out, which is quite an event these days itself. And let's explain what you've done. So what was there before? It was just that little leaf motif.
Yeah, on both towers, on either side of the entrance, there is this Tree of Life motif that was there, made cast in terracotta, and it's part of the architecture of the building. And I had this picture in my studio for a good year, just looking at this very, very complicated juxtaposition of buildings and tried to think of a way in which I could somehow sort of add to it and make something that would sort of jump out and would actually brighten up the street a bit here.
Well, you haven't been able to stop the traffic noise, unfortunately, so we'll go in and talk there. But it is fantastic having the sun hitting the gold leaf, which you...
Well, finally, I think we did a sort of pact with the devil, installing in the monsoon, and then finally, on the day it opens, the sun comes out.
So we've now retreated to a quieter interior. So the fact that you've filled it in at this point was that 1901 they commissioned a frieze to go there, but it turned out to be too expensive. But how much do we know about what would have gone up there?
It was very much in the tradition of the arts and crafts movement. It was a mosaic. I have seen a picture of it, but I actually didn't want to look at it because I didn't want to think about what might have been there. It was more about what was going to be there.
And you filled in another absence in the past, which was you're one of the artists who did the vacant fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square. This is slightly different because I suspect most people weren't aware that there was anything missing from here.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those kind of crazy situations where you start to work on something, and as soon as you start to work on it, everybody has an opinion about it, you know, even though no one knew it was there in the first place. And that's just something you have to kind of deal with. And, you know, working with English Heritage, and, you know, they had a lot to say, obviously.
But also, it's known as colloquially as stakeholder hell these days, but this is also an Olympic event, and Danny Boyle is turning up to open it, so LOCOG is also part of this, but it's slightly mysterious, all that.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people realised that with the Olympics happening, there was a lot of money available. And I think that when we were looking for funding to make this, you know, the Whitechapel went to LOCOG, and they, I think, were the first people to say, yeah, you can have some money towards it. So, you know, in that respect, they've been very supportive. And, you know, if it means that something like this can exist that wouldn't otherwise exist, it's not part of the Olympic Park, it's something that is going to be here for as long as the Whitechapel's here.
And if people didn't know who'd done this and they walked past, they knew a bit about art, there's one way they might guess, which is that there's a little bit of something which you've consistently used in your art, which is that you've cast the window frames in the past, you've cast clearly rooms and spaces under chairs and houses. But so you've cast the windows from the gallery, and then four of those stand at the centre of the frieze.
Yeah, I mean, that was a way of, one, giving it my sort of signature, but also I didn't really want to just randomly have this sort of tree motif, leaf motif running through it. I wanted to also have some sort of structure to it, because if you look at the outside of the two buildings, there's an enormous amount of windows, and it was just really somehow just trying to balance it and actually sort of think of the whole thing like a drawing.
And we talked some time ago when you took the commission to do the Turbine Hall at Tate Modern, and then you said that you'd spent 6 months or so deciding whether to accept that commission, and I think you hold the record for the longest delay before saying yes. But this is part of your temperament, but did you hesitate for a long time over this one as well?
Well, I had a sort of a photograph up in the studio for a long time, and, you know, I've known this building forever. The Turbine Hall was more sort of foreign to me as a space, in a way, Yeah, but it is part of my temperament. You know, I don't have an enormous output of work. I try not to sort of repeat myself. And if I'm making a sort of statement in London, or the first piece I've ever made that will be is permanent in London, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was doing something that I really felt was right.